Okay. So, brothers, we continue our fellowship from last night. I heard you had a marvelous session. Amen?
Amen.
I hope so. So you actually read through the excerpts, and I trust last night you all, before you slept, read the outline, and now through much fellowship that you had, I think you have more feeling, I'm sure, and more sight concerning this matter of both the initial burden of being perfected, as well as the vision of the body, and specifically how these three great matters of the church, the ministry, and the work are interrelated and interconnected and even intrinsically one in the context and on the ground of this body of Christ. So the body of Christ is both the holding factor, and actually it is the ground, and I would say even the governing law, the governing principle for all of God's operation unto his purpose, that is the building up of his body. The body itself is not just the goal, but the body itself is the factor, the holding factor. The body itself is the very ground on which all of these things would operate and interrelate, right? And the body ultimately is the controlling principle in everything. The church, the ministry, and the work are part of these. It's zero, right? All of God's doing today practically involves these three things. And day in and day out, whatever we're doing in serving the Lord, we're engaged in at least one of these items, if not all three. Now, we don't have the time to get into a lot of details related to each one of them. I mean, the church, it's its own a standalone subject that requires much study. The matter of the ministry itself. For example, you have in the beginning of Acts chapter 1 there, when, because Judas killed himself, am I right? You know, he committed suicide. So they were lacking in one of the 12. And so they decided at that time some kind of a, what do you call it? Drawing lots, some kind of way. You may say, well, they were a little bit superstitious, and I don't know. But anyway, they felt the need to have a replacement for Judas, and so they did something in order to choose that substitute or replacement, and being one person named Matthew. Now, the point here is, in this verse 25, let me just read to you. You don't need to turn, chapter 1. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, knower of the hearts of all, show us clearly the one whom you have chosen of these two," because they were two candidates, if you will. You know, like here in Canada, you have two candidates, right? Okay. You have chosen these two. One of these two, make clear, please, one of the two, to take the place of this ministry and apostleship. Okay, notice here the ministry is this ministry, meaning it is singular, it is unique, it is with that definite article, the, not a ministry, but the ministry from which Judas has turned aside and to go to his own place, and they cast the lots, and they it fell on Matthias, actually not Matthew, Matthias, and he was counted with the 11. Well, the point here, brothers, even to understand this matter of ministry, you need to study. And I don't have the time, and this weekend is not for that purpose. Don't think, oh, ministry, we follow the ministry, I know the ministry, we're for the ministry. Actually, you don't know what you're talking about. You're not clear. And I hope that, you see, this is why we need the perfecting. Many things we take for granted, even in our parlance, in our vocabulary, popular terms that we utter day and night. When I question, really question you, you don't know what that means. You don't know all the implications. You don't know all the accurate definition. That means you don't know the truth. They say God is in the details. You know, it's a kind of a popular saying, God is in the details. I will tell you that is true. In terms of the biblical truths, God is in the details. To know the truth, you need to know the details. If you don't know the details and you just kind of spew off some kind of generalities, that is really not adequate. Not adequate. You need to know the details. That's why some people say, my goodness, your church is really, really something. These outlines are 4 pages long and books overflowing from your bookstore. And why do you need all this kind of, you know, like splitting the hair and spending so much time on these things? Just we're saved, we're going to heaven. That's good enough, you know? Well, God is in the details. If you have a heart, brothers, to study any truths in the Word of God, you've got to get into the details. And we don't have the time, of course. You have to do it yourself. All right. So here is this ministry. That means as far as God's administration, God's economy in the New Testament, and God's move. Actually, Old Testament likewise, by the way. There's only one ministry. But we're in the New Testament. There is only this ministry, the singular, unique ministry in God's New Testament economy, which ministry, to be simple, is to minister Christ for the growth, for the supply, for the edification, and for the perfecting of the saints unto the building up of the body of Christ. This is what the New Testament ministry does. So there's only one ministry. There's only one ministry. This is the unique ministry that has a unique operation, a unique goal, right? And all of the saints and all of the gifts that God has given, including the apostles, the evangelists, whatever, the prophets, they all must be a part of this singular ministry. There's only one ministry. There are not many ministries in the New Testament. You have to see this, and you have to be bold to say, I am part of this ministry. Amen. And we are. Amen. I'm not part of that ministry, this ministry, I am in this singular one ministry. However, if you go to the end of Acts, you go to chapter 20, you go to chapter 21, where Paul, in the first case, in chapter 20, was speaking, testifying to these Ephesian elders for the last time, right? You know that story. And in 21, he was maybe by that time in Jerusalem, giving a testimony even to James in Jerusalem. And in those two instances, he said something about how he had been faithful. He had fought the fight. He had been faithful to the ministry that the Lord has committed to him. And in the latter case, he was testifying what God has wrought, what God has worked out among the Gentiles through his ministry. Then you would say, well, I thought there's only one ministry. Now Paul is glorifying in his ministry. How do you reconcile the two? Well, this is where you need to know. Although there is one unique ministry to which all the gifts of God and all the chosen vessels of the Lord, all the servants of the Lord belong to and are a part of, which also include us by extension, there is the other aspect of a personal ministry. There is that aspect. So Paul would say, my ministry. And I think later on in 1 Timothy 1 somewhere, when he wrote to Timothy, he said the same thing. The ministry that he has given a commission to me, I have been faithful to that. Something like this. So Paul had his ministry just like Peter had his ministry, and John had his ministry. But be careful. There are personal ministries in that way, but all these personal ministries must be a part of that one New Testament ministry. But today, there are many personal ministries, but most of them, if not all of them, most of them are not part of this one ministry. They are somebody's ministry, and it is being built up as such. At the end of the day, it is to build up somebody's work, somebody's ministry. And it becomes an end unto itself. It's not for the building of the body of Christ. Not to mention, in many instances, they are not really ministering Christ. They're doing something else. They heal the sick. They are engaged in many good works, possibly, but not only they're not for the building up of the body of Christ. Let me tell you, brothers, historically, the more ministries there were, the more divisions there were. Ministries became not something that produces the one body, it became something that fragmented the body. If there are not that many ministries, probably the body of Christ would not be that divided like today. And actually, when these ministries become strong, become prominent and powerful and outstanding, they are the source of today's denominations. Every denomination came out of a certain particular ministry. Methodists, they trace that to the John Wesley, right? Which the Lord used in those days, quite greatly. And Luther, to go back even earlier, Calvin and all these great men and others in the ensuing centuries, all were used by what? The Lord at one time with a certain ministry, but because they don't have the view of the one body, the one goal of God, these ministry became denominations. The denominations actually are all sectarian, and therefore they are divisions. Denominations are divisions. Dividing what? Dividing up the body of Christ. Now, we're in the Lord's recovery. Here we do have certain prominent ministries. One is Brother Nee. Am I right? Watch my knee. One is Brother Lee, right? Witness Lee. Let's just take those two because they are prominent amongst us. How about these two ministries, these two personal ministries of these two brothers. What do you say? I would say from the angle of what? Of fact, of the fact, from our observation, and also from the angle from our own experience, being under this ministry and partaking of this ministry, even in some way, I would say, products of this these two ministries. I will raise my two hands, one for Ni, one for Li, that I am a product of these two brothers' ministries. I never met Watchman Ni, but I certainly have met Witness Li. But I will tell you, I study the books of Watchman Ni very, very much from my youth. And Brother Li, of course, we sat at his feet to listen to his messages a lot, and his speaking a lot. Okay, my point is that I can testify, I think many of you can testify, objectively, let's not be subjective about this, factually, that these two ministries, they are powerful, right? Not just in the recovery, outside of the recovery, at least with Brother Watchman Nee. Powerful. To this day, he's dead, but he still speaks powerfully. We give away these books at BFA, you give away these books at BFC, and you know, this is Watchman Nee. Witness Lee, I'm very burdened for Witness Lee's ministry because today it is still misunderstood, still blockaded, still somewhat cast in the negative light. And more or less because of this, it is not well received like Watchman Nee's books and ministry are. Even 20 years now, almost 18 years now after his passing away, still not penetrated. And I have a burden, you know, with BFA, is to somehow break through that blockade. Not because I'm here championing Witness Lee, I'm his buddy, I'm his disciple, I want to do something for him to keep his legacy alive. Forget about all of that. I know this ministry. This ministry is the ministry of the age. Actually, these two brothers together is actually one ministry in two parts. Chronologically. Chronologically as well as complementarily. They are almost, as one brother once said, just to illustrate, like Moses and Joshua. You know Moses and Joshua. Moses brought the people out. Joshua brought the people in. And they were somewhat a pair that completed what God wanted to do in that age, you know, with the children of Israel. Well, I have to declare boldly that these two brothers' personal ministries are all a part of that one New Testament ministry in Acts 1. And that ministry is for nothing else but for the building up of the body of Christ. It's not for its own building up. I will testify to this as far as I know, that is the case. That is the case. It is unfortunate. It is the devil's work to shut off this ministry. I mean, especially Witness Lee's. Watchman Nee is, there's these movements in the U.S., probably in Canada as well, called the organic church movement, house church movement. That have been around since, in the beginning, probably the 70s. And then in these years have gained steam, the whole house church movement, etc. And I check into them, and I found out they have a list of sort of the the most highly valued, the highly promoted literature in this particular movement, which has a certain level of spirituality to it, which many other groups and movements do not possess. If I remember correctly, amongst the top five, at least two or three books is by Watchman Nee, with another one by Austin Sparks, with another one by somebody else, at least two, if not three, in my recollection. That shows me the value, how they perceive, how they appreciate Watchman Nee's ministry. And it is so, right? Watchman Nee's ministry was buried there in China in the Chinese language for most of those years when Brother Lee was alive. The first book that was put into English is the book The Normal Christian Life. And then very quickly, along with that, books such like Sit, Walk, Stand, am I right? What Shall This Man Do? And then Love Not the World, Change Into His Likeness. All of these actually, many of these are actually given titles in English. They were not the original titles, or some of them were really sort of clobbered together from here and from there and turned into a book and with a English title given to it. And you even have that book later on called The Breaking of the Outer Man and the Release of the Spirit became very powerful and very popular. This is all in the 60s. But the first book, The Normal Christian Life, 1957, printed in India, in the old Bombay, which today call Mumbai, right? The old Bombay, 1950. Very interesting. I'm not superstitious, but anyway, it's very interesting. That's the year Brother Lee came to the U.S. for his first visit. And those books in English, Watchman Nee's books, took off like wildfire among seekers since the late 50s and then the early 60s, paving the way for Brother Lee to come to this country. Brother Lee will tell you, without those books opening the doors, the literature pioneering the way, his work would not be so his ministry would not be so readily received, because people come to know that there's a certain co-worker of Watchman Nee in town now, or in this country, in the U.S. now. All right. Well, I'm spending too much time on that. So you have these personal ministry, all of which, if they are the healthy and the proper and genuine ministry, they all actually belong to this one unique ministry, and that is the New Testament ministry. The Old Testament, you have the ministry of the priesthood, am I right? And of the kingship, and of the prophethood, and actually, all those are still here with us today, not in that ceremonial way, not in that Old Testament way, not in the way of those ordinances and things, but intrinsically, in principle, there is still the priesthood in the New Testament. Am I right? Amen. The New Testament priesthood of the gospel. We're all priests. You know, it's very, very clear if you read Peter's epistle. A spiritual priesthood, offering up spiritual sacrifices. Every saint is a priest. Of course, we have the kingship, and that is the ruling, the governmental side, the administrative side of God among his people. That is here. So you have what? You do have the apostles. You do have the elders. You do have all these ones who represent the administrative side, the governmental side, the side of the kingship, of the in the Old Testament. You have the prophethood in the Old Testament. And so today, what? All are prophets, am I right? To speak the word of God. Prophesying is not just to speak, just predict the future, the end times. Prophethood's main function is to speak Christ. You go to read Isaiah, for example. We have just have a crystallization of Isaiah. Mainly, principally, that book is not prophesying about the future of Israel. It's mainly prophesying about Christ. Isaiah is a book about Christ, speaking after speaking. Real prophesying is not foretelling. Real prophesying is to speak about Christ. So today, that priest, prophethood, should be, is still among us in the New Testament. So all these things are still there consistently. Now, we are all part of that ministry, one ministry. And that is the ministry in the Lord's recovery today. And these two brothers' ministry are all a part of that one ministry. Could you not say, brothers, factually, from our conscience, that that is the truth? Amen. I say this. I will shout this. Amen. Outside people may say, ooh, this is a cult, and this is a China man, this is Eastern mysticism, this is, all this. These are just people who don't know what they're talking about. Or, sorry to say, some with an intention, an agenda, to shut this up, to shut this down. That's what the devil knows. That's what the devil did with some degree of success. So this is why I say the blockade is still there. Today, I don't know whether, Robert, we at BFA, we work with the brothers at LSM to put out the first sampler. I call it the sampler of the life studies as a free book. Do you give it, Greg, here? Gregory? Not yet. Do you know such a book? It is, the brothers consider this, and they what? They pull out, I think, seven to nine messages from the life studies of Philippians, package them together into one book, and it's all on chapter 4. Chapter 4 of Philippians, on not being anxious. That marvelous, marvelous speaking there. And it is called A Life of Without Anxiety, and full of forbearance. I mean, that speaking of forbearance is classic. I mean, if you want to know about forbearance, and we'll have a word called forbearance this morning, it is simply classic. Well, anyway, they put it together, and we put it out as a book by Witness Lee, only by Witness Lee, and in fact, a life study. We want to use that as a kind of a teaser, a kind of sampler to introduce Witness Lee's ministry to the people today. Amen. Now, that in no time climbed on the charts, so to speak, and became a bestseller. A best giver, best gift. Right now, on a monthly basis, I believe that book is still the most popular. I am happy about that. Now we just gotten LSM's okay to produce the second sampler. My heart, my burden, I want to put out a sampler for all the major books in the New Testament to give the people the taste. Once they taste it, they don't care li, ni, we, whatever. It's food. You see how unfortunate. Just because he's China man, you won't eat the food. Well, I understand not all Chinese food are healthy. But this Chinese food is not from a China man, but it is not Chinese. It's New Jerusalem food. All right? This is heavenly diet. But unfortunately, they put on the glasses China man. Right away, they would not take the food. Isn't that terrible? That's what was done since the 70s by the opposition, putting a bad taste, a wrong kind of a bad taste in the people's mouth. Today is still there. We've got to break through that blockade. I'm very burdened to break through. I want to see Witness Lee's ministry as powerful and appreciated as Watchman Nee's. Why? Because Brother Nee's ministry went beyond Brother Nee. It actually completed Brother Nee's, what Brother Nee started. What Brother Nee did not get to, Brother Lee attained to. And I speak this as one who studied this. I don't say this easily and just flippantly. I say this with a lot of thought and a lot of studying myself. That's the conclusion I have come to. Brother Nee never interpreted the New Jerusalem like this, like Brother Lee. It is just awesome and incredible, incredible. It's you don't go home and sleep and dream and you stand up here and speak New Jerusalem like that. It's a lifelong study with God's economy in view, culminating in this final and greatest sign in the Bible. Actually, that's it. If you want to know anything about God's purpose, God's economy, you must know the New Jerusalem. That's the end product. And what he's doing is reverse engineering, you know, this great structure. You have to do reverse engineering. Reverse engineering is the going back to the Bible, and eventually you still have to come back to the end product. All the seeds that have been sown from Genesis all the way on end up in the New Jerusalem. You know, talking about one work, you know, not just one ministry, but one church, right? We know that. You agree? There's one church, right? All these divisions, all these sects, all these factions, all these denominations today are all abominable in the eyes of God. I know they're our brothers and sisters. I know there's a lot of good intentions. I know there are a lot of zeal. I know there are a lot of good works. I know they expound the Bible, etc., etc. But I must say, as denominations, they break up the body of Christ. It is the enemy's work. So today in the recovery, we are recovering back to the testimony of the one church. How many churches are there in the Lord's recovery? How many ministries are there?
What?
Well, there are many local churches, but there's actually one church. There are many ministries, but actually there's only one ministry. There are many works. There are many works, many operations, but actually, brothers, there's only one work. You know what that work is? The work to build the New Jerusalem. That's the only work God cares for. Go to the end of the Bible. You know, when I buy a novel, I flip to the last page. I want to know what's the end, you know. Then almost like, you know, the rest is the process. I tell you, the end is the New Jerusalem. We all should be doing that work. We all should be doing one work, that is to build the New Jerusalem. We save people for that. We shepherd people for that. We do perfecting work for that. We have trainings for that. We spread for that. We raise up local churches for that. We're here for the New Jerusalem. So I'm just giving you a taste, my brothers, about some of these things that you must know in order to serve the Lord well and to serve the Lord adequately in your churches or in your area. And I hope this will become a dominating and governing vision to you, a controlling principle, even a law to you in all of our daily works and services. All right. Okay. Now, what time is it? We end at what time today? Very good. I need the time. Now, I'd still like to say a word about perfecting. I think that is emerging to be quite a burden from the Lord for this time. Amen. I sense that. brothers, in Canada, these last 10 years or so, you know, here, at least in the West, since that turmoil back in the mid-2000s, right, that certainly touched the Ontario churches, or Toronto and so on, and Montreal for sure, and Eastern Canada. So we went through a very, very difficult and dark hour 10 years ago or somewhere like that. And I have at least some share in the fellowship all through the years. Maybe I'm certainly not the only one, but I have since that time been engaged with the things going on the east side, Eastern Canada. And I would say in these 9 years, 8 to 10 years or so, the Lord has really done something very, very, to me, gracious and almost unexpected. And that is, he has marvelously restored or recovered his testimony. Preserved it, but not only to preserve it, with some faithful ones in various churches, but to advance it to a point even more than before. And so there's not only healing, but there's also a kind of a reset. You know, you push the reset button, a sort of a new foundation being laid in the churches. And so there is even a new start, a restart of the Lord's work, the Lord's testimony here. And one of the great things very positive side product out of this difficult episode is that all the churches in Canada were brought into this practical one fellowship. Now that is great. To me, that is like the top issue or result of what we have been through, the way I see it. For the whole nation to become one, the co-workers, the churches, the leading brothers, really coming into one fellowship and in one accord to do the one work, to follow the one ministry, to build up the one body. And that is a great thing. And some of you here, even sitting here, came after that time. You are the, in the U.S., 911. You remember 911?
Yes.
It's sort of a demarcation line. You are a post-911 guy. You are a pre-911. I'm a pre, you know, obviously. There are a lot of post that today, they don't even know 911. 911, what's the big deal? It's like, you know, Pearl Harbor. What's the big deal? Just a few planes, you know? They don't know how Pearl Harbor changed the course of history. Okay, so we had our Pearl Harbor or 911, whatever you call it. Now we have those who are pre amongst us, and then we have those who are post among us. But whether we are pre, whether we are post, just like the picture in Ezra, you have some who have seen the old temple, you have those who have never seen it, but when the new foundation was laid, there was crying and weeping on the one hand by the old ones, and there was shouting and rejoicing by the young ones. It became a one big messy sound, and that reached to the far corners of that land. That's the kind of feeling I have. Amen? So the Lord has done something very, very gracious to Canada for his own sake. Now, brothers, where are we? That's my question. Enough celebration, okay? Enough thankfulness to the Lord. We continue to thank the Lord. But brothers, we must look forward. It's been 10 years, or close to 10 years. It's a long time. And the Lord has done much amongst us. Now, where do we go from here? So in these few days, before today, yesterday, we have several days with some key brothers together, praying and fellowshipping. There is quite a sense within. I believe it is not humanly manufactured. I believe there's something of the Lord there that we must look forward to the next 10 years. Brothers, we need to look forward to Canada in the next 10 years. I would like to predict, I would like to expect that the next 10 years would be 10 years of growth, 10 years of increase, 10 years of spread, 10 years of bringing us to a point in Canada, as far as the Lord's move is concerned, something we have never seen historically in Canada. I like to see our number here double in the churches. The number of churches, the number of saints, double. I believe many seeking ones are hiding there, are there. Through all kinds of labor of the churches, through works like BFC, the French work over here in this province and beyond. On and on and on. And brothers, you look at the world situation today, you have to just conclude we are edging ever closer to the end of the times, of the ages. The world has never been so volatile and on fire like today. It is a dangerous world we're living in. Anything can blow up at the moment. Look at the Middle East. Look at Israel and the Arabs and the Palestinians. Look at Europe. The current refugee crisis is but just a sign, a small sign of things happening that points to the end situation, and it's still going to happen. And statesmen and leaders and all of this, despite what they say, are throwing up their hands. They've never seen anything like this in the world, even not worse than the so-called Cold War days. The hot spots, the flashpoints, is unseen. Never seen in human history globally. And brothers, that's the world situation in very extremely general terms. I watch, to some extent, I keep my eye on and study the world situation, because the world situation is always an indicator of God's move. We have to be aware of that. And so, here we are in Canada, in North America. Brothers, what is our future? What are we doing in the Lord's recovery? What's our present commission? What should we give our lives to right now? Well, for me, I like to give myself to something called the final revival, which I pray, and Brother Lee pray, and hope would be the greatest revival. Not in that Pentecostal sense, you know what I mean, some great movement, but a genuine revival of God's people. And how can I say, we are not the smartest, we are not the brightest, we are not the greatest. No, we are among all of God's children. But somehow there's this something called the Lord's recovery that we find ourselves in. We're small, extremely small. We're minuscule in number. But we cannot deny the fact that that the Word is totally open to us, interpreted in the most balanced way through this all-inheriting and all-inclusive ministry from these two servants of the Lord who are the ministers of this age. So, despite our scale, despite our size, we are given these rich truths. And we also know what the Lord wants, what God's goal is, what God's purpose is. You know, today you read many books, all the words that are popular to us are becoming in vogue, you know what I mean? I'm reading books called God's Eternal Purpose. I read book about the local churches. I read book about all these things that we use as common terms are seeping into the Christian, at least some of these better Christian, so-called better Christian books. And I know where they came from. They're usually not credited or attributed, but. So here it is. Even today, even spirit, soul, and body is getting more and more the norm. You know, once upon a time, this is called heresy. Dichotomy is the truth, is orthodoxy. Trichotomy is heresy. Well, not today. The truth is the truth, as Brother Lee say, and the truth will win. You can fight all you want. The truth will win at the end. Okay, well, brothers, here we are. What are we doing here? What are you doing churching in your locality? Well, I really hope all of us brothers will get a burden. It is not just have a good church life, a good spiritual life, a good Christian life, and that's good enough. I hope all of us brothers in the Lord's recovery, especially us here, will see something more than that. We're here for the accomplishment, the accomplishment of God's great economy. We're here, and that economy, when it comes to us, is the Lord's recovery. And that is for the carrying out of the Lord's recovery on the earth. And that recovery is very much what? The return to the very beginning. You know, something is lost, so it needs to be recovered. To come back to the beginning of what God wants, according to the revelation in the Holy Word of God. And so we're here practicing the church life. We're here being built up in these deep, rich divine truths. We're here experiencing Christ to grow in life. These things that we are taught to do, that are in the Word, to live a life, a genuine Christian life, which is the life of a God-man. And not only so, we're here to do our best to strive to have a kind of body life, communal life, church life, according to the New Testament revelation, where all saints function, everyone is a priest, all would be serving, every member active, right? Not only so, we are striving to practice the scripture revealed way to build up the body and to have the church life. We call it the God ordained way. We beget, we bear fruit, we preach the gospel, right? All with the view of all of this. We shepherd, we feed, we care for the believers. We perfect the saints. We teach. We train. And finally, we want to bring it to the point that every saint would speak God, to speak the word of God in the way of prophesying. None of these are small things, small stuff. They're all key as far as the Lord's recovery is concerned. And we're also here endeavoring that this truth may be propagated. This truth is not meant just for us, this small group of people. I don't know how many Bibles you have given out in Canada. Huh? You're not really that clear. Oh, I can tell you in BFA, over the last 14 years, we have given out 1.3 million Bibles. Not books. Books double that number. Huh? 30,000. Okay. I told the brothers I can make a strong argument quite easily that today there are more people outside, Christians, believers, outside of the Lord's recovery, reading the recovery version and studying it, than brothers and sisters inside the recovery. 1.3 million, let's say 5%. The other, they threw it in the trash can. I don't think so. But let's say 5%. 5% of 1.3 million is what? 5%. Hmm? Huh? 65,000? Yeah, okay. Do you know how many brothers and sisters, saints, we have in the Lord's recovery in North America? No more than 30,000. And I don't think all 30,000 read the recovery version regularly. In fact, I'm not sure all of us in this room read the recovery version. Okay, 65,000 out there reading. And in here, maybe less than 30,000. Maybe 20,000, maybe 15,000. There are more people today enjoying, benefiting from that version of the Bible outside than inside. Are you jealous or are you happy? I'm very happy. You say, well, then, but they're not in the church, they're in the free groups, they are all in the house, whatever. Well, let them be. But let them read. You know what Brother Lee say? Brother Lee say, in the end, I do not care for the increase. Did you hear what I said? He said, in the end, I don't care for the increase. Doesn't mean he doesn't want increase. But he's making a point. I care to feed all of God's hungry children. This ministry, if it's a real ministry, is not just for us. It is for the entire body of Christ. Amen. I don't care what denomination they were. If I can get one to the Pope, I will do that. I'll leave it to him whether he will read it. I believe if the Pope gets it, I believe the Pope may read it and get some help from it, and it will be delivered in his next homily. There will be something of the ministry there, maybe. Brothers, we have to have a heart that is that big. We don't care. We just sow seeds. We just speak without an agenda. Whether they come into the recovery or not, and I believe some of them will, that is up to the Lord and up to them. But our job should be Brother Lee's heart to carry out, just to get this word out. And we should do this here. Am I right? And to spread the word, we need to be told very much outward facing in the next 10 years. 35 million people. That's last time when I heard from the mouth of this this young Trudeau, right? We have 35 million people here. There's a lot of people. And it's a lot of territory per capita, you know. Each man in Canada probably has acres of land. if you divide it up by land mass compared to 35 million, it's a huge land here. And immigrants are still coming in. You've got world-class cities here for sure. Canada is still a very important country in the globe. Brothers, we have a job to do. We have a great responsibility. I hope none of you will think small, if I keep my little church. I'm afraid next 10 years will be like today, or like the last 10 years, or like the last 50 years. That's wrong. I don't agree with that. I think in Canada there should be more than, what is the number right now? 2,300 saints on the Lord's Day. There are 2,300 saints in the meetings. What if we should, we should have at least 5,000, am I right? Or 60, what is the double that? 25, 23, 5,000, that's double, right? And when you say 5,000, I would not jump up and down. I said, that is still kind of small. Are you following me? Now, I'm not here for some big movement, let's be great, let's be just large with huge following. Brothers, I'm not for that. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. But this country deserves that.
Amen.
Canada deserves such a testimony.
Amen.
And when there are 5,000 saints here, instead of how many churches today? 22 churches. There'll be 50 churches. How about I put that out as a challenge for next 10 years?
Amen.
You say, whoa, how will that happen? Well, I'm going to say something as a starter. How will that happen? So, on the one hand, we have a certain dream, certain burden. On the other hand, we have to be pragmatic, be practical. How do we get there? How do we work this out? Well, we need a lot of prayer. A lot of prayer and a lot of labor. But today, I'm here. And you can see time is running out. I may not even get into that message, which I think it's okay. I think the present speaking is more important because you can study it. 75%, right? That's how you learn. Not my speaking. Your personal reading and rereading and deep diving into the things. You will learn the things. Trust me. All of us are smart. All of us, you get it. Okay. What am I talking about? That's why I talk about perfecting. Perfecting. Now, the brothers told me that across Canada now, today, if we put all the brothers like yourselves together, we loosely call these responsible brothers or district brothers or some serving brothers, whatever the name may be. We don't include the very young ones, the very junior ones, obviously, okay? Although the very new ones. All the brothers here have been somewhat selected, somewhat, recommended to be in these meetings. You just don't sign up because you want to be here. That means you have, in the brothers' consideration, you have something for the Lord, some manifestation of a heart, of a burden, of some commitment, right, to the Lord's recovery and to your local church. You have a heart. You have a zeal within you to live to the Lord and to live to his purpose. Okay. There are, I think today, anywhere from, there's 140 here. 140 here. But that's not everyone, because many cannot come far away. I think if you add them all up together, the brothers say, at least we should have 250 brothers like this all across Canada. Yeah? From Vancouver to Halifax, right? That's not a small number. There may be more, I don't know. And you know what? As years go on, this number will grow. The younger ones are coming up, you see. Now, let's say you have 250, 300 brothers, just brothers, not even sisters, like this. And if this group of brothers somehow receive the proper training, the proper kind of help over time, and they all become, quote, quote, if I can borrow the word, qualified to become the proper serving ones in the churches in many, many different ways according to what the Lord has measured or gifted to them. These are brothers who know life, in life. They deal with the Lord. They experience life. They know these things. They are in a process of maturation, of growth. They're not just here just because they do something. They grow in life. Number two, these are brothers, at least to a certain degree, they know the truth. They study the truth. They don't take things just easily, right? You may not study it the way I study it. That's okay. But at least to a certain degree, you know the basic truths in the Lord's recovery. And by the way, a good syllabus to study this truth is the recent Itero in Brazil. That is our theology. If you want to know, you start with knowing God's economy, then you have to know the triune God, then you need to know what? The all-inclusive Christ, then you need to know the consummated spirit, then you need to know the eternal life, then you need to know the church. And then number next is what we're supposed to cover that we don't have time to cover, the oneness of the body of Christ, and then finally, the ground of the church. If you equip yourself with some deeper knowledge of each of these things, you're qualified to serve in a stronger way. Even a new believer today, they can serve right away, but they're not that qualified. They couldn't do that much because they are ill-equipped. Hence, we need the perfecting. That not only so, I would like to say something more to this group of brothers. Not just life, not just truth. You need to what? You need to be trained up to serve the church, to be fully involved in the church life and serve in many, many ways. We have no time for that, all right? In the church life. And to serve the Lord is not that simple. There are many things that you have to learn. It's not just functioning, using your gift. You have to learn many things. You have to pick up some skills. You have to be the right kind of person. You have to know how to coordinate many things so that you can serve in the churches. And I would say even one more thing, brothers, if I may say so, if you mean business. Well, the other main thing is we all need to be trained up to know how to what? How to live the church life according to the God-ordained way. That means we all have to care for people in the gospel, in the way of shepherding, in the way of vital groups, companions, in the way of home groups or small groups, meetings, in the way of speaking for the Lord on these so-called prophesying meetings. These things would not be just kind of just some kind of a formula to you. No, these things, because you have a view, you would be laboring, striving with a vision along with others to build this up in the local churches. Now, one last thing I would add to this is what? Is even, brothers, may I say this, your character, your person, your disposition, all this need to be touched and needs to be built up. Now, don't take this matter lightly. This thing actually may make or break your service. We have the best. We have the best. But oftentimes, I think our people are not the best. In other words, we don't match this. So people, they look at the book, oh, wonderful. When they come to us, they say, the picture doesn't match reality. Or reality doesn't match the picture. What a shame. Then they got disappointed. The truth is so high. Everything is so wonderful. When I come amongst you, it's a group of motley group of people. Not high standard. You know what I mean? Just sloppy, like that. That is not right. Brothers, I am very burdened about this matter of how to be a proper human being, a proper person, someone with the proper character cultivated or built up. I just say this much. You know, if Brother Lee is here, Brother Lee will, let me tell you, he will lay into this, spending 2 hours on this maybe. The way you dress, the way you deport yourself, the way you handle things, the way you deal with persons and matters, your attitude, the way you compose yourself, the way you behave yourself, the way you handle the things of the Lord, of the church, the sense of responsibility, following through with assignments, generally displaying a high order of character. Now you say, who cares? We just love the Lord. Well, there's that side. But every great work is not done by some sloppy persons. Great works are done by great persons. Persons who discipline themselves, persons who strive, persons who endure, persons who possess certain basic character traits to work out the things of the Lord. I'm talking here not to the general saints. I'm talking to brothers who have some responsibility in something in the church life. Well, where I am in my church, I work on this, And I'm always the bad man, Martin. I'm always the bad man. And so I'm not very popular in many instances because I talk like this. I look at meeting halls. Everywhere I go, I look at meeting halls. Not because the meeting hall is everything, but it is something. And I'll tell you, your meeting hall reflects you. Actually, it reflects the leaders. I don't need to know I just look at the hall, then I draw a certain conclusion. Brothers, we need. And even when I look at you, I don't need to look at the meeting hall, I just look at you, I draw a certain conclusion. I don't care what you say. What you say is so beautiful, so wonderful, so high. I look at you, I say, all that you say is discounted instantly by 50%. The great stuff you said, just by looking at you. It's not convincing. Do you know what I mean? It's wonderful stuff, but I'm unconvinced by looking at you. So we became the, what, inadequate, unqualified ambassadors of our message, this great message that we've been given. Well, brothers, many things in this regard, many things. It touches our national disposition, it touches our background. We're all from many countries, or we all brought our background with us. All those things need to be touched and adjusted and regulated. The more regulation, the more adjustment, the better and the more useful you are. It's not just about a heart. The heart is the starting point. But the dealing and the training up of your person and your character means too much in the service to the Lord. Now, my point is here. I better draw to a close without getting to the message. Brothers, please forgive me. I didn't get into my message. So I need more training, probably. Didn't do my job. Brothers, the brothers have much fellowship and prayer and consideration. I would say the future of Canada depends on the people in this room. Heavily. Not unique, not exclusively, but heavily. In some ways, I will say the sisters are more important than the people in this room. In certain ways. But in another way, the brothers and the brothers to come of this category are key to how much the Lord can do. The Lord is ready to pour out his blessing. The Lord can do too much. But are we the right vessels ready to contain that blessing? That's the question. And this is why I'm so burdened for perfecting. Perfecting. Now, the burden is this. Currently, we are at the beginning of that fellowship. And that is starting in the new year, 2016, and possibly, I think, the month of January, as a starter, to take 1 year, 1 year, to conduct a special training for us brothers. And this training, we still need to give it a name, but the material that has been prepared for this type of training, we call it the Elders' Lessons, or Lessons on Eldership. But it is not just for elders to be, or elders that are. It is a way to train the brothers, the serving ones, the responsible ones in the churches, to come up to a higher standard. It is to educate them how to serve the church, and how even through that to build up the church practically. We have started this training for almost a year now. And Robert, I didn't tell you, I just got an email from the brothers in the Bay Area. We started to conduct this with, just like you, about 250, 60 or 70 brothers like this in the Bay Area. Every month they come together in one place for 4 hours, and we give them three lessons. They're all together, 36 lessons in six modules. Each module has six lessons, and every month we cover three in a sequential way. And they not only get some message giving the 25%, but they take those messages, and each week they deep dive into one message that we're given, you know, for that month, in definite groups in their localities or in their clusters, to study it, to get into it, and even to begin to apply it. The whole burden is to strengthen the existing leadership or eldership, but also very, very much with a view to raising up younger brothers, the next generation, to come into responsibility in the churches. I just got this email. The brothers say, we have already decided we will go another year because I'm almost finished with preparing another 36 lessons. That means year two. So they don't want to stay with just sort of basic, they want to go into intermediate level. And I may prepare yet another 36 to make it how many? 108. 108, am I right? 3 times 36 is 108. And that will be advanced level or something like that. You say, oh my goodness, we really need that much training? We really need that much work? Yes. I mean, to be an electrician, you know how hard to be certified. I know a few things because I'm not an electrician. I know somebody who's trying to be one. They have to go through 3 levels of tests. They have to work before they have the highest qualification or designation. I always say, would you hire an unqualified electrician to rewire your house? Would you? Forget about the being illegal, right? But would you do that? I make a joke. I said, many churches heretofore for years have been using uncertified electricians. Brothers who don't know what they are doing, but yet they are thrust into responsibility. And no wonder there are a lot of fires and throwing up of the hands and mismanagement of the church and mistreatment of the saints and the church is stuck forever, not going on, not advancing. How do you do the small groups? How do you shepherd people? They don't know. They just love the Lord and nobody else is going to write check. I'm going to start writing the checks. So I'm a leading brother now. Writing checks doesn't need to be certified. Giving an announcement doesn't need certification. But too many things, we need some real serious training. By this kind of training and perfecting, we would all become, quote-quote, professionalized. Now, we're not here to do Bible school. We're not here to train up clergy. We're not here to build up a class. Forget about that. But there is a great need for perfecting. Perfecting unto what? The work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ. I think some of us need to be trained in how to study the Bible as serving ones, you know, for example, and so on and so forth. Well, Brother Lee has spoken a lot of these things in his speaking. You go to the Elders Training series. But you know what? A lot of those things are just on the pages. As far as I can see, not carried out. Just inspired. Read the life studies. Oh, I'm very inspired. Never read it. Or just sporadically, not systematically. So up to today, you still have not read that much. And because of that, you're not that constituted. And if you're not that constituted, you stand up, you don't have much to give to the saints. And the saints are not that nourished. And the church is not that built up. Just one example. One example. Brothers, I hope I have convinced you. Would you respond to such a training? Amen?
Amen.
All the material are from Brother Lee. I will guarantee you that. And some from Brother Lee, but mostly from Brother Lee. And having done some of this training with these close to 300 brothers, they will testify to you of the prophet. Otherwise, they won't ask for more, I suppose. And don't say, oh, this is too slow. No. We have to do this solidly. I love Brother Lee's word. Step by step, level by level, we will build up. Let's not just dream about 5,000 saints and 50 churches. Let's build this up. So I don't know what the brothers will do in terms of the practicalities of such a training, but I'd like to share this burden with you. Amen. Amen?
Amen?
I hope and I trust you brothers love the Lord, love his recovery, and you know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
It's time for Canada to rise up.
Amen.
And stand on its own to be a model of sorts, even in the Lord's recovery. I'm not saying you're the only, but I am saying Canada has the assets that the Lord has given to it. I mean, 2,500 saints, 22-3 churches is a tremendous asset. The meeting halls, these physical things, is a sign of these assets. I don't know how many meeting halls we just talked about the last 2 days. I can hardly believe. You know, since I came here, I've been thinking about this piece of land. Because this building, you cannot tear it down. It's here to stay. But the city allow us to build in the front, in the side, and in the back, up to three, four stories. So I told the brother, sorry if I speak about it here. I said, Montreal, you should not just think about the church in Montreal. Let's build a beautiful Montreal meeting hall. No, that meeting hall, you can rent it. Because how much do you use the meeting hall? Actually, not that much. This hall, with 1 acre land in central Montreal, close to the metro, I was told, I mean, this place should be a training and blending center with hospitality suites, with dormitories, with better meeting, facilities, breakout room, cafeteria, all these things, so that this would be a place where, as a kind of a center, where the seeking ones can come here. I can imagine here we would have conferences or special trainings or seminars, whatever you call it, where we invite all the people who have gotten the recovery version and books to come here for a weekend, both to hear the word, much like in Amana Trust in London, quite successful over time, and what they have been doing in Russia for many years. Many churches are raised up by this. They come here and they also get into the church life. That's why Montreal, you need to have a robust church life, even a attractive, rich church life to convince these newcomers. So they read the book, they come here, they say, it matches. I'm in. You know, in the old days, one weekend, people are caught. Because the picture, the reality matches the picture, and they have nothing to say. They just have to bow down and say, God is among you. I don't think we're there yet. We need a church life everywhere that is that attractive, that living, that rich, that strong. We need all of this all across the Canada. So we need a lot of work to do. So, brothers, I've been already thinking how to design. Where to put the elevator, where to put the stairs, where to put what size units. I'm too much. Maybe I'm too much. I tell you, we need them. So many French speaking. I don't speak French. Even this morning I spoke wrong French, embarrassingly. But the point is, I believe, and I tell you, to gain the French people in Quebec is not for Quebec, not just for Quebec. It's for the entire French-speaking world.
Amen.
We're servicing the French-speaking world, including France. And so, brothers, too much potential, this country, too much assets, and therefore too much obligation, too much duty and responsibility, too much debt we have to pay to the Lord and to this ministry. So, amen?
Amen.
I hope you catch this vision. You all be pure-hearted brothers, no ambition, no pride. You just have a spirit of learning, spirit of advance. You won't be individualistic. You will all be one, and we will take the training. We will study. We will improve ourselves. We will better ourselves in every way so that we can be more useful in the Master's hands. And by that, the Lord can bless the saints and the churches, and then this dream will be a real one, be realized. Are you okay that I didn't get into the... So here's the assignment. I'm not going to let you go. I mean, we're here for 48 hours, brothers. Don't sleep a little bit less. Don't worry. You won't die, you know. It's okay. Okay. I would charge you between now and the afternoon session, you not only have lunch, you get into this message number 7. It's called the what? In the back there, it's called the oneness of the body of Christ. Here is the other grand aspect of the body, that is the oneness aspect. It is a great aspect. Actually, the body is the real divine oneness in expression, the real oneness of the triune God. Is the body. Okay, so please get into that, and also please read through the with one another the excerpts. Okay, I better stop here, and we have a little prayer with someone next to you. Amen.